Well, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Last Sunday morning, we began a short mini-series on the state of man, talking about the fact that every man, and specifically dealing with mankind, every human in the world is in one of these three states. They are either the natural man. The Bible talks about the natural man is dead in his trespasses and sins. The natural man is somebody that is dead. We talked about the idea there may be a natural man or they're a spiritual man. They could be a spiritual man. That's somebody that's alive with new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we possibly, which we'll look at next Sunday morning, is the carnal man. That's somebody that's alive, but they're living like they're dead. Hopefully these things make sense to you as we moved on. We tried to teach last week about the condition of the natural man to give an understanding of how we are created as a trichotomy in God's image, that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body being that house, the vessel in which holds everything, that holds the real you, your soul and your spirit. I have asked Pastor Gus to modify our diagram just a little bit. And as we look at this, I hope it helps you to be able to visualize and see each of these. But the body, the physical body, is your vessel. Everybody has a vessel. They come in all different shapes and sizes, amen. But we all have a vessel. We have a body. And the body is our world consciousness. This is what allows us to be conscious of the world around us. It's our five senses. It's the fact that I can feel and touch and know. I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, you stand in front of a fire and you feel that warmth. You're conscious of that warmth. That's our world consciousness, the body. And then we talked about the soul. That's our self-consciousness. That's that we're aware of ourself. That's where we have the heart of man, the emotions, the will, our discernment, the decisions that we make, and whether we yield to ourselves or yield to God is determined inside of the soul of man. And then man was created in God's image in the three parts, and the third part is the spirit. And where the soul is our self-consciousness, the spirit is our God consciousness. We are aware of God, and we have spiritual discernment. And man was created in a garden. We can walk into the garden in Genesis chapter number 2 and overhear a conversation with God and Adam and Eve. We get that privilege as we look into Genesis. And if you walk into the garden with me, you listen, you can hear God talking to Adam. And God says in Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Thou shalt surely die. What I was trying to teach last week and give an understanding of the fact that in the garden when man sinned, he spiritually died. The spiritual God consciousness died. He began to die physically. That was part of the punishment of sin. He began to die physically, but he didn't die immediately. But immediately, he spiritually died. His God consciousness, his awareness of God and the relationship. The Bible talks about a separation. Death is a separation. That he was separated from God because of that sin. Immediately he died spiritually. As we said, the Bible says that you were dead in your trespasses and sin. So everyone born after Adam was born with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit that is dead. born dead. You don't have that God consciousness. But we concluded last week as we saw that discussion of the natural man, and we concluded with the idea that understanding that God, by design and his desire, is that man would not stay spiritually dead. Right. It's God's desire that man would be born again, that we would be given new life in Jesus Christ, that God consciousness could be restored back into us. That's the desire that God has. He has given that to us. So this morning we want to talk about the spiritual man. As we discussed that God does not want men to stay dead, but to be born again and be given new life. Now I would like to just talk for a couple of minutes still by way of introduction and laying the groundwork for the spiritual man, and give an understanding of how it is that an individual who has no God consciousness, that is spiritually dead, how is it that he's brought to a place where he would seek after God, or where he would begin to see the need for God and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior? If that part of man is dead, then what is it that would motivate him or cause him to want to know God? There's a couple of things that I see that we learn from the Scriptures about this. First of all, we know that nature itself declares the glory of God. It is in nature itself, everywhere, the nature itself tells man that there is a God. And that is something that is necessary. There is a God. Man desires that. In Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." He's saying, hey, every day when the sun rises, day after day, consistently that sun's in the sky, it's declaring, hey, there is a God. Night after night, as you see the glorious magnitude of the stars that are in the sky, and the depth of this universe that we haven't even, with all of our knowledge today, haven't even begun to scratch the surface of, it declares there is a God. In verse number 3, he says, "There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard." There's no speech or language. There's no place. It doesn't matter if you're down in the deepest jungle off the Amazon River somewhere. The glory of God is declared day by day. And it doesn't matter if you're in the deepest jungle of Baltimore somewhere. The glory of God is declared day by day. Day by day. It doesn't matter where you're in the world and what language you speak or what background you come from or what culture you come from. What I want you to understand, take the God consciousness away again. What I want you to understand is that when you were spiritually dead, somebody put it like this. They said, there's a God-shaped hole in man that can only be filled with God. We are a trichotomy. Part of us, the way God designed us and made us and built us, is missing. And we don't feel whole. Nature itself, even the heart of man, realizes that something's missing. And I'll tell you what, this world looks to fill that hole with so many different things. They look to just fill it up. They want to do this or do that, and they try and satisfy it and fill that hole. But you know, although there are things that fit in that hole, there's things they can get in there, but they'll find that there's still such a great void. Because it's a God-shaped hole that can only be filled with God and his presence. But the natural, what I want you to understand, I have a book right here. It's called Eternity in Their Hearts. Startling evidence of beliefs in the one true God in hundreds of cultures throughout the world. Cultures down through the ages, not connected by any way, not any kind of communication from one to the other, nobody else, crossing culturally, different places of the world, different continents and different times. But in all these cultures, you go and you find that man has a heart and a desire to worship God. It is put into us. It is there, and so it starts with that. Although we're spiritually dead, it is in the nature of man to look for God. And this old world and Satan gives us lots of gods to try and fill that void, but only God can do it. So nature itself points us to God. God himself draws us to him. He says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." God, in his glorious mercy, reaches down and begins to tug at your heart and say, "Hey, you need me. Hey, something's missing, and it's the love of Jesus Christ." Hey, he begins to tug and pull at your heart. Aren't you glad today for the day that God drew you to himself? And the Bible tells us that the Word of God points man. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's important as we go door knocking that we leave the Scripture with them. That's why we go out and we hang John and Romans on doors and we leave it at a door, and hopefully they'll pick it up and begin to read the Word of God, because the Word of God itself points people to God. So man who is spiritually dead is pointed back to God, and they can have new life. Now listen, there's not a Calvinist bone in my body. I believe that every single man, woman, boy, and girl ever born has a free will to choose whether they will choose God and be born again, or choose to exist. As we talked about last week, we're going to exist somewhere for eternity. You're going to exist for an eternity in life in heaven, because we're given new life in Jesus Christ when we're born again. Or you can choose to exist for an eternity in death in hell. But you're going to exist somewhere forever, because we're made in the image of God in the way that we're a trichotomy, and we're also eternal beings. We get to choose. We get to choose what we want, and everybody gets a choice. Calvinism teaches that you have no choice, that you have no free will, that God has predetermined that Bob is going to be saved, or that Wilby is going to be saved. And even if Wilby didn't want to be saved, it doesn't matter, because God determined Wilby's going to be saved. That's what Calvinism teaches. And that's not true, because that turns man into an automaton, just a robot. The whole idea behind the tree in the Garden of Eden and from the very beginning of man is God wanted man to have a choice, to say, "Yes, Lord, I love you," or, "No, Lord, I reject you." And so God gives every man a choice, and you have a choice this morning. You can choose to be saved, and you can be, as the Scripture says, a partaker of the divine nature. You're given back that spiritual consciousness, having escaped the corruption of this world. This is the three parts of man. Hopefully, as a believer, as a Christian, you know that you're a spiritual man. That you're a spiritual man. You've had that restored. So let me look in the Scriptures here and give you several things about the spiritual man. We want to talk about the spiritual man. First of all, the description of the spiritual man. In the Word of God, there's lots of things that the Bible describes the spiritual man as. In John chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, maybe in your heart and mind, that whole conversation found there in John has always, in your mind, you just find it hard to wrap your mind around that. Maybe that illustration we showed in talking about how the spirit of man was dead and now is given new life helps you to understand that we're born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born, I mean, I was born of flesh once by my mom, brought into this world. But if I want new life, because I was born spiritually dead, if I want new life, I've got to be born again of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit of God. You're given new life. So the description of man, the spiritual man, is this. First of all, he's called a Christian. In Acts 11, 26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in 1 Peter 4, 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Aren't you glad this morning that we're called Christians? You know, in this time, they were called Christians first at Antioch. You know that the word Christian, the title, the name Christian, was given in a derogatory, negative way. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there about churches today. And we could say, in particular, fundamental independent Baptist churches today. The news media likes to call them, what? IFBs? Independent Fundamental Baptist, the IFB movement, derogatory, negative. They look at that. Do you know that in the beginning to be called a Christian at all was negative? They were being persecuted. Peter said, if ye suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Glorify God. Listen, the world's turning back. There was a time that being called a Christian was a good thing. Even politicians used it to get into office, whether they were or not. And it's, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. It was a good thing, but this world is quickly turning the other way, and to be called a Christian can be a negative thing again. Can be a derogatory thing. But listen, they were called Christians. A spiritual man is called a Christian because why? Because we're Christ-like. We've been given new life in Jesus Christ. They're called a Christian. You're called a new man, Ephesians 4, 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God had created in righteousness and true holiness. You've been given new life in Jesus Christ, a new man. In Colossians 3, verse number 10, he says, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created he him. The new man. We're called a new man. I'm glad that I've got a new life in Jesus Christ. From Jesus Christ. We're called saints. You didn't know that you were a saint, huh? Some of these kids wishes they were saints. You thought you had to be dead for so many years before you could be called a saint, or had to do so many good works or something. Listen, the Bible calls us saints. In Ephesians 2, verse number 19, he says, now therefore ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fellow citizens and saints of the household of God. In Romans 8, 27, the Bible says, because he maketh intercession for the saints. You're called a saint. So a spiritual man is called a Christian. He's called a new man. He's called a saint. You're also called the temple of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You see, what we're saying is that spirit consciousness, the new life that was given to you when at the moment of salvation, you're born again, you've been given new life, and the Spirit of God comes and dwells in your heart as the temple of the Spirit of God. Your body is a temple of God. That's why we're not to defile that temple. You're called an ambassador. An ambassador, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. How are you doing on your ambassadorship? How well are you representing the spiritual life? The home in heaven, your heavenly Father. Praise the Lord, we're called the child of God. Do you know, contrary to popular belief, not everybody in the world is a child of God. You know, they say, there's these phrases that people say, you know, it's like, oh, we're all God's children. They're using that in a general sense because what they're saying is we were all created by God. It's true, we were all created by God. But according to God's word, we're not all God's children. Some of them, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. So there are some who, after the nature of Adam, born in this world, are not God's child yet. You've got to be born again to be a child of God. But you can be a child of God. In Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, he said, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. What an amazing thing. I mean, Jeff Bezos has three children. I don't know their names. I know one of them was adopted from China. How many of you know who Jeff Bezos is? A few of you. He, as of January 2019, he was worth $139 billion. He's the founder of Amazon. Jeff Bezos has three children. What if I told you today that you were a joint heir? Equal partner with his kids. Woo, boy! Let's see, how does $139 billion, how much is that? We would be counting. We would be looking at it. Hey, Dad, not that we want you to die, but, you know, could we get some of that inheritance? Listen, the spiritual man that has been given new life is joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with God's Son. God, we know, we sing the songs, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns it all. All of God's power, all of God's strength, all of God's ability. And we are joint heirs with his Son. God loves his children. We're called the children of God. And as a spiritual man who's been given a spiritual life or be a new birth, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord for that. Joint heirs with Jesus. Let me give you the discernment that the spiritual man has. We saw how the natural man has no spiritual discernment. The natural man has no spiritual discernment. He may be brilliant intellectually, but he has no spiritual discernment. I was talking to John Smith this morning in the fellowship hall as we were getting ready for Sunday school. And we were talking about how his blood has been off and how he hasn't had a lot of strength, and because his, you know, his counts are low and things aren't where they're supposed to be, and he had another transfusion on Thursday, but he still doesn't have a lot of strength. And he said, how he talked about how he can just feel it. Like when things aren't right, he doesn't have any energy. He says, actually, when it gets really bad, I can't even breathe. He said, I just can't even get the oxygen that I need. And just thinking about all of that and how the Scripture tells us that life is in the blood. And I looked at John and I said, you know, it's amazing to me how any doctor could not be a Christian. How any doctor could not say, there's a God. All that they know about the miraculous things about the human body and how they could still look at that human body and say, there's not a creator. This happened by accident, is just mind-boggling to me. But they have no spiritual discernment because they're spiritually dead. But when we're given new life, we're given spiritual discernment. The new man has biblical discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says this, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man." I'm not going to spend long here, but he judgeth all things, but he himself judgeth no man. How could he judge all things and then not judge men? Okay, that's because this is the judge. He has biblical, spiritual discernment. I'm not the standard. I don't judge any man. I don't get to decide how I think Fred measures up. I don't get to say, oh, well, Fred, yeah, he surpasses this by a good ways. He's doing good. I don't get to judge that. But the Word of God judges. The Word of God does. And having spiritual and biblical discernment judgeth all things by the Word of God. We have spiritual discernment to do that. You get biblical spiritual discernment, the Bible says, by the reason of use. In Hebrews 5, verse number 14, he says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Okay, by reason of use. You understand that if I just decided for the next 6 weeks I was going to tape my arm to the left of my body here and wasn't going to use it, that in 6 weeks this arm would have lost a lot of strength, a lot of ability. I might have to go back to rehab to try and get any strength back in that. We get stronger by reason of use. If we want to have spiritual, biblical discernment as a spiritual man, we've got to use the book. We've got to get in the Word of God. That's why day by day we have a devotional here that we read and we study and we look at together as a church. The Bible says in verse number 13 of Hebrews 5, "He that uses milk is unskillful in the word." You know, all my kids, we split and cut wood. And my older boys are pretty proficient. I don't mind handing them a chainsaw and saying, go out there and cut some wood. You know, they're fine. They're comfortable with that. They've used it a lot. I've taught them and explained to them the dangers of it. And I would send them outside by themselves with a chainsaw. "Pastor, yeah, don't report me." But you know what? Caleb, he's unskillful with a chainsaw because he hasn't used it much. So I wouldn't send Caleb out. I would get a real small chainsaw and put it in his hands. And I would stand there with him and I would say, "Okay, here's how you start it. Here's how you stop it." And I'd walk him through that. And start, by reason of use, he starts getting some ability. He starts to feel what it does and how it jerks around and what he needs to do. He gets better with it. You see, a lot of Christians don't have the spiritual discernment that God wants them to have because they don't ever use the book. We're supposed to have spiritual discernment as a spiritual man. But we get that by getting in the Word of God. Somebody asks you a question about the Word of God. "Oh my goodness. Let me give you my pastor's number." Listen, I'll be happy to have Pastor Derek answer it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, how many years have we been saved? We're supposed to have some spiritual discernment. We're supposed to be able to look at things and interpret them through the eyes of the Bible. You know, I've been thinking about preaching a message entitled "A Look at the New Deal from the Pages of the Old Book." How many of you know what the New Deal is? Come on, you guys in the news? You guys listen to the news? The New Deal from the Green Deal? Oh, see, I don't even know what I'm talking about. The Green Deal from the Old Book. This, it has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans. There is so much stuff in that Green Deal that goes contrary to what this book teaches. You know, we ought to think biblically. And we ought to think biblical principles, not politics. Now, I need to go on because I'm already... You know, we see as a spiritual man, we have the ability to see through things like Christ would see them. You know, they have the bracelets and the t-shirts and everything else, WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? You know, as a spiritual man, you should have the ability to discern that. What would Jesus do? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." As a spiritual man, you have the mind of Christ. You should know what Jesus would do. There's several things we could look at. I was thinking about the mind of Christ and thought, what can we teach on that? The mind of Christ. I mean, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, what is that? What does it equate to? And there's many things we could look at, but I just want to give you one. In John 8:29, it says this, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." This is the mind of Christ. "I do always those things that please him." Jesus said, hey, the Father hasn't left me. He's with me. And I do always the things that please him. If we're going to have the mind of Christ as a spiritual man, we're going to do always the things that please the Father. How are we doing as spiritual men this morning? Are we doing always the things that please the Father? You know, Enoch, the Bible says he was not, for God took him. But it says that he had a testimony that he pleased God. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to do that which pleases him. You say, well, I know that I have spiritual life. I know I've been born again. There's no question in my mind, but I also know that I don't do the things that please him very often. Well, then you might be in the state of the third man, which we're going to look at next week, which is a carnal man. That's somebody that's alive. They've been given new life, but they're living like they're dead. And we'll look at that next week. We know that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So let me give you the destination of the spiritual man, and we're done. You guys have been listening really well. You've been engaged. I appreciate that. This is exciting. You're going to like this point. If you have some spiritual discernment, you know where I'm going already. Hallelujah. The destination of the spiritual man. We've been given new life in Jesus Christ. Do you know where we're going? Hey, come on now. In this whole world, we can say goodbye to it. We can, just think of stepping on shores and calling it glory. Hey, don't look for me at the pearly gates. Don't look at me in the streets of gold. Just look for me at Jesus' feet. Amen. The destination of the spiritual man, although this life might be hard, although the days might be long, although things might be difficult, this life is going to end one day, and we're going to wake up in heaven. We're going to be caught up together with him in the air. We're going to go up in glory. Amen. The destination of the spiritual man is in heaven. It's with the Father. It's with Jesus. It's with our loved ones. It's with those that have gone on before, because we've got a new life in Jesus Christ. We get to live. We get to exist eternally in life in heaven. Hallelujah. Destination of the spiritual man. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The destination. If you don't have anything else to look forward to, you can look forward to that. Like going on a vacation. Miss Lisa just came back from a cruise. She's all tanned and everything, you know. Half the fun of going on something like that is just planning it and looking forward to it. Like, yeah, we're going to get to do this. We're going to do this. And that destination, you're looking to it. Are you looking for heaven? Looking forward to being there? looking forward to the destination. Praise God that we get to go there as a spiritual man. Let's stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of new life that you give us in and through the power of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, if there's one here this morning that's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, they're still here in the state of the natural man. They've not been born again in and by the power of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you would give them the courage to step out and come forward and trust you today before it's eternally too late. May they make the choice. The choice is theirs, but I ask you to give them courage to make the choice to trust you today. And Lord, as the majority of the people in this room this morning would testify and say they know they're a spiritual man, they know they've been born again, they know they have new life in Christ, I pray, God, that we would look and see how we're doing on this spiritual life. How do we line up with the titles and the names, the descriptions that are given to us as spiritual men? And may we rejoice evermore of the destination that you've provided for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.